Hello, everyone. We are going to get started with some Queen's Club coaching. So if you're brand new, some of the times when you're brand new to the tribe, you this might be your first Queen's Club call. The way we do this is where Kryn does like her open office hours. So we don't take appointments at this one. If you're in the tribe, we usually do those with appointment where you have to sign up ahead of time, all that kind of good stuff. And here you just get to raise your hand. So if you're wanting to get coached, will you please raise your hand and I'll start calling on people and we will just get through as many as we can. Joy, you were first. Here we go. Hello.
Hi.
Let me get your video started. Hello. So what are we coaching on? Oh, wait. First, tell me how long you've been in the tribe.
Today is actually my 1-year anniversary.
Okay, good. Because, like, the last time I did something like this, I just start talking about the model and all this junk, and it was like, I've been in the tribe, like, one day.
Oh, my gosh.
So I wanted to make sure, I just have to get my mind right around, like, is this somebody who's already been through some of the material or not? So.
Yeah. No, I am. Oh, my gosh. My heart's racing right now. So it's the first time I've had a coaching call.
All right.
I figured today was a good day to try.
That's right. It's Sunday. It's beautiful. You know, it's going to be like 95 here in Nashville today.
It's raining here. I'm in Washington State.
Oh, my God. It's like 95 and humid. It feels like the middle of July. I'm just like, We need some fall weather. So
you can have it.
What are we coaching on?
So I've been in the tribe for a year now. Before I joined, I lost 50 pounds just listening to the podcast. I joined because I kind of decided I needed the mental work, and my life has been amazing ever since. I got a new job. My relationship with my husband has improved. So that's all been great. However, in the year that I've joined, I've only lost another 10 pounds.
Wait a minute, your sound cut out. Another what?
About another 20 pounds. So I'm down a total of 70 pounds, I feel fabulous. I love the way I look. I love the way I feel. Love the clothes that I wear. But I've kind of unintentionally put myself into maintenance. And
take ownership. Don't say I unintentionally did it. Okay. I've been making choices that don't cause weight loss anymore.
True. I am making choices that don't cause weight loss anymore. And I've listened to several people on calls that are in that same spot. And I'm like, yes, it's a choice I've made. Do I really want more weight loss? Do I not want more?
Tell me, what do you want? How much more weight do you want to lose? Or do you want to stay this weight? Let's just make a decision right now. And then that's what we're going to work on.
Right. When I started out, I thought, I can lose 100 pounds and I can get down to about 135 pounds. So that was kind of where I set my goal. I'm now sitting at 163 and I've been between 161 and 160.
Right. I don't really care where you've been.
Okay.
Here's what I want to know. Where do you want to go? You're telling me all about your past, like what you've done, everything, but you're not focused on where you want to go. You're like totally avoiding that. So we're going to make a decision right now. So like, Kryn, I'm ready to maintain. Let's talk all about maintenance and what happens there. Or Kryn, like, I want to lose some more weight. Let's talk about how I'm going to lose more weight.
Great. I would love to at least get down into the 140s.
Okay. So you want the conversation about losing weight?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't want you to just note, though, how hard it was for you to just get to that point.
Right.
Why?
Why? I'm not going to say I don't know, because I know you don't like that answer. Not allowed. I think I'm not used to getting what I want. I mean.
Oh, it's so not true.
I know.
I'm assuming right now with food, you're getting what you want or you'd still be losing.
Maybe I don't want it bad enough.
No, it's not. Okay, this is the thing. You're talking as if everything is just kind of happening and you're just like, and I'm just here experiencing all that's happening to me. Like there's no sitting here and saying, like when I say like, well, tell me, what's going on here? Why are we not there and stuff like that? It's almost like you're like, you think it's all just happening around you rather than you're making decisions.
No, I know it's all about the choices I make. I make my plan and I look at my plan and I say, that looks like a good plan. And then I eat off plan.
Why?
I totally own that.
Why do you eat off plan? Because if you own it, you know why. If you don't own it, you won't know why. You'll be like, Grin, I got to think about this one.
I mean, the thought that comes in my mind is, I know how to do this. I can do this if I want to. I got this. I mean.
Yeah, but when you're eating, but I want you to think about when you're not eating the plan, you're not thinking, I got this. I know how to lose weight. So now I'm going to eat off plan. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking when you're eating off your plan? Like, that's the thought that's getting you to make plans that feel doable, right. But they're not really doable if you're not eating them.
It's probably the one choice isn't going to make a big difference and I can do better on the next one, you know, which I know is not true. That's a big fat lie. One choice makes a difference. Every choice makes a difference.
Yeah. But do you tell yourself that in the moment?
Not in the moment. I tell myself that later.
Yeah. Later doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. No.
Later we've already ate.
No, I know all the answers. I sit and listen to the coaching calls and I tell them the answers before you do.
Yeah, but I want you to understand the difference between knowing the answers and knowing the answer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's easy to regurgitate everything that you hear over and over again. Mm-hmm. But when you really know it is when you are in the moment and you start saying, all right, today's the day. I have to make a pause before I actually eat this food. I have to tell myself the truth about it. Mm-hmm. This does make a difference. This will totally stop me from losing weight. This has nothing to do, like, this will keep me in maintenance. And we can't use the bullshit of like, and I'm happy here and all this other stuff. You can be happy here and still be willing to challenge yourself.
Right.
Being happy here should make what you want to challenge rather than using that as like, I'm happy here. That's why I'll eat. You're not really happy here if you're still needing to eat through it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So we're going to lose some weight. Mm-hmm. What's it going to take? And I want you to be like, not, I've listened to all the coaching calls for a version of Joy. I want you to be the version of Joy that's like literally just telling me actually what you think about. Okay. And that's hard because like we so intellectually, like when in Queen's Club, what happens is like, you've been listening for a year, you've had a lot of success, mm-hmm. and you self-admit like, I know all the things, like, you know it in here right. enough to say it, but in the back of your mind where your belief systems are residing, that's where I want you to go to. So if you were going to, what is it going to take? About another 20 pounds, 25 pounds, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say 20, just for easy math for Corinne. Okay. So lose 20 pounds in, let's say, by what month are we in? September, October, November, December, January, February. By Valentine's.
Let's shoot for March because I got a cruise coming up to the Caribbean. So there we go.
Well, I was picking Valentine's Day because we love her. So we're on the same page.
That works too.
Right. It's not because, but here's the thing. I don't want you tying 20 pounds to a cruise. They won't matter. It will not.
I know, because I did the same thing last year. I had a trip to Mexico in April and I was like, I want to be my point by
just
April.
Setting a date because this is the date we're going to do it by. We're not like earning our pride and earning our happiness on a cruise because that shit never always backfires. So we're just going to do it by Valentine's Day because we say we're going to do it because we just want to lose the last 20 pounds. We've already decided that, and it doesn't have to be any more grandiose than that, other than we just want it. All right. In your mind, to lose your last 20, what's it going to take from Joy? Like, what do you think really has to happen to lose 20 of the last 100 pounds?
I have to get uncomfortable again.
Okay. And what does uncomfortable mean? Like, what are the things that, and I want you to like, be really honest. Like, I think it means I'm going to have to do this.
I'm going to have to eat less. I'm going to have to throw food away. I'm going to have to stop before I want to.
So you're going to just have to do all the things we had to do in the beginning.
Right, exactly. And I know I can do those things.
But this is what I want to caution the rest of the people who are on here, because this is what I normally see when people get hosed up in the last 20 pounds, is we define that the last 20 have to be hard and that we think it's going to be miserable, and that there's like this belief that it's just not going to be any fun. It's going to be really hard. Like, that's what I got to sign up for. And if that's the case, let me just tell you, when you've lost a lot of weight, you are not going to want to give up feeling good in the fact that I can be thinner and feel good. If the option is be at this weight and be happy and be able to, you know, sometimes eat things I like and all that kind of stuff, or I got to, like, it's going to be hard and uncomfortable and like, I got to do all this. You won't want to choose it. Your right. belief system about the next 20, guys, I want all my maintenance people who are begging me for a maintenance program. It boils down to just this. That last 20 all boils down to, are you going to lose it easily or are you going to lose it hardly? Because hardly turns into hardly any weight loss.
Right. Yeah.
So how can we start defining the last 20 as fun and easy and a no-brainer is the real trick. And believe that. So you've been doing it the hard way, obviously. Otherwise, you would have bought into it.
Yeah. Oh, the first 50 was a piece of cake.
What made the first 50 a piece of cake?
Oh, man. I was excited. I bought 100% into what you were selling, and I told myself that it was going to work, and it did.
Are you telling yourself that it's going to work for the last 20?
I think I have stopped telling myself that.
Okay, so that's a key.
Yeah.
Is you need to start believing it's going to work. And I would just, and you said you were excited. So like, and I'm going to be excited. If it doesn't feel exciting, then I'm not going to do it. I will stay here. But if it's not, if I can't do it in a way that feels exciting and that I believe in myself and that I know it's going to work, I'm taking it off the table. I will sit in maintenance until I'm ready for that part. Yeah. I'm just a big believer in don't make weight loss. Like, you've already made it easy and now you're making it hard again. You're going back to weight loss has to be hard. And you're proving it over and over again by saying, well, I'm going to have to sit in all that discomfort and stuff. I would just tell myself, you know what I'm going to need to do? Like, this week, I'm going to work on one of the basics that I haven't been doing. I will just like leave two bites behind every meal just this week. That's going to be one of the things I know I'm going to have to do the whole time. If I don't have to focus on the rest of it, like, no matter what I do with the 24-hour plan, like, let's say that you eat off plan. And let's say it's like, I don't know, what do you eat off plan? Tell me something you're eating off plan that keeps you in maintenance.
Sometimes it's just grabbing a little bit extra. I work overnight, and when I drive home, I eat my breakfast and I'll come home and I'll just, you know, grab a piece of toast in addition to what I've already eaten.
When you grab the extra piece of toast, then I want you to leave two bites of toast behind. Okay. Just for now. Like, that's literally all you have to work on.
Okay.
It's just making sure that you're getting into the habit of leaving a little bit of food behind. If that's one of the things that you've identified as like the difference between me back then, who was excited and loving leaving food behind, and the difference between me now saying, you know, in order to lose weight, it's going to be uncomfortable and I'm going to have to leave food behind. Do you see how much more seriously you talk about it?
Yeah.
So different. And it's like the version of you that was like, I'm just doing this, wasn't thinking about it like that. So now you're just going to practice the one thing, or you pick, like, if you're going to, like, for some of you, you may just need to pick with sticking to your plan, but you notice that not only are you like not sticking to your plan, but you're also eating 2 or 3. Like, you know, when we get into right before we lose all of our weight, we get into wiggle room territory.
Yeah.
We start seeing what all we're away with.
It's my negative or my positive too, I think, has shifted, and I haven't adjusted for that as well. Cause I know how much food would make me full. Not well to my plus two
yeah.
before. and I'm still eating that much food. And I think I just need to cut back on it a little bit.
Well, I would just start with one thing though, because one thing that will suck the fun out of it is deciding to experience all the discomfort of going back to what you were doing. Right. Pick one at a time, the 20 pounds will come off. Okay. Keep it fun though. You got to tell yourself, I know this is going to work. I know I'm going to lose 20 pounds. We have to quit sitting around thinking about, this is good. I'm so happy here. It's not that you can't be those things, but if your focus is, I'm happy here, this is good and whatnot, and your focus isn't, not only is this good and I'm happy here, I can't even imagine what I'll be like in 20 more pounds. I mean, if this is good, that must be a fucking orgasm sitting here. Because I think a lot of us think we have to hate where we're at to get to where we want to go. And it's like, no, we can experience right. a lot of good here and just imagine like, wow, what is it going to be like then? You know?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Good talk. I love talking about maintenance and the last few pounds.
Thank you. This has just been a game changer for my life and I'm so appreciative. So
you're welcome. Well, thank you for taking your first dive into the coaching pool.
It wasn't so painful. So thank you.
Right. I'll tell you, I don't bite anyone. Y'all are not my plan.
No, and I love your style. So I just so appreciate you. So
oh, thank you, ma'am. All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right. Katie Barrett. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Look at you with that big ass elliptical right behind you.
I know. I've been on it already today. I was on it when I was listening to the orientation call again. So feeling good. Okay. So I have been digging into my data because I noticed a pattern and then I had a thought. And so I've got all kinds of thought downloads and models and I just kind of need to tease out what I need to do next. So Joy's call was so helpful because I'm down to my last 25 pounds. I'm starting to notice the same thing that, you know, maybe I'm eating to a 3, but I was looking at my data from my habit trackers and in May I lost 6.2 pounds and August data tracker, the percentages were exactly the same and I lost 1.8.
Okay. And
for me, that brought up, oh my gosh, that's the fewest pounds you've lost since you've started. And then I started, you know, digging through the data. And so I did all my habit trackers and then I went, well, wait a minute, that was the same as May. What made the difference? So I started going through my food plans and noticed that, well, really it's kind of the same. I mean, I've had higher calorie desserts, like I've had more ice cream than I did before and fewer salads. And I know we've talked about the salads and I've been eating dinner with my husband. So
yay. I'm eating dinner with both my boys tonight right? at the dinner, at the table. No,
woo.
What are we doing?
Right. Okay. So I went through and I did a ton of downloads and some models and I found a couple thoughts. One that I kind of struggled getting an intentional thought around.
Yeah. Which one is that?
That it's not going to work. That it's, I'm going to gain it back.
Yeah.
And I really think the one I did this morning after talking, my husband has been so supportive and I was saying, okay, I need to cut out the ice cream. I need to go back to I made these little 3-2-1 cakes that were fewer calories. And he looked at me and he said, you know, it sounds like you're kind of beating yourself up because you lost weight in August.
Right. And you lost weight and you learned some stuff. It's not about the 1.8.
And for me,
what you're willing to learn.
Right. And I feel like I've learned, but I've still got this voice that's going, see, you're getting closer to your goal and you're already, it's stalling out.
Of course it is. Why do you think your brain is saying that?
Because I think it goes back to that thought of it's not going to stay off. And so I'm like waiting for the other shoe.
Why do you care that you have those thoughts is my question.
I think because it's been my pattern my whole life.
Yeah. So I want you to just see that you have an old thought that is for sure going to come up, and you've decided to now start going back to your past again to figure out what's going to happen next, rather than going to, this is my data. Here's the changes I'm willing to do to figure out what's going to happen next.
I think that's where I am. I don't know what to do next. Do I just stay the course? Do I, because I
probably just do, I would do exactly what you said. Well, if 1, 2, 3 cakes make a difference, maybe I should do that rather than ice cream. See what happens this month.
So that's not going back to my restrictive dieting mentality necessarily.
Like, here's my opinion. When this is what the queen does. So like this month, I'm drinking drastically less than I drank this summer. And here, and because I want to get my summer weight off. Do you know what I don't sit around doing? Well, you know, I'm going to have to restrict this month, Chris, in order to get off this summer weight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I sit around and say? Ready to get off the summer weight. I'm just going to make a choice. I'm not going to drink as much. I'd much rather have my summer weight off. I feel very abundant. Like I'm giving myself a gift.
Okay.
That's doing something for myself. I want you to think about whenever you make any change, you, I don't care if you keep the ice cream in or if you do your 1, 2, 3 cakes or whatever you do. That's just your action line.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it coming from a place of, I choose this because that's what I'm doing for myself. I'm doing this for myself.
Well, that's how the ice cream started, because I noticed in July I was having a lot of off-plan eats and it tended to be the ice cream. And I'm like, okay, just put it on your stinking plan.
Yeah.
So I put it on my plan. So I haven't been eating off plan because I've been eating my ice cream. But then
now
I got to
what you know is that when you like now you're eating it consciously. So I want you to, this is really important. And I'm really glad you noticed this. This is the beauty of fucking data, everyone. So you noticed you had off plan eats. So you auto-corrected to, okay, well, I'm going to put ice cream on the plan. Now I can just be following the plan. Now I have data. The data will tell me if I am the kind of person who can eat ice cream and continue that rate of weight loss, or if my body's going to say, if you want to continue that rate of weight loss, ice cream can't be planned this much. So now you just have to decide, is the ice cream more important or is the goal more important? Taking ice cream away is not restrictive eating. Well, it is restrictive eating. It's restricting ice cream so that you can have an abundant relationship with your body. It's like you have to decide how important is ice cream to your well-being. If it's very important to you, then you're going to say like, okay, I'm going to keep the ice cream in, and 1.8 is the new rate, and that's fine. And that's fine too. A lot of people will choose that. They're like, 2 pounds a month, man, if I only got my last 20, I can do that for a year and eat ice cream. Some people are like, no, I don't want to do it that, I don't want it to take that long. I'll go back to my 1, 2, 3 cakes.
Well, then that was the other thing I put in is, you know, as I was doing my thought download earlier, it's like my fears, I gain it all back, but then am I restricting? But then is, you know, adding it to my plan helping me, or can I go back to those cakes and be satisfied? You know, I'm not sure what I need to do.
You have to decide. You're going to need to consciously decide that the 1, 2, 3 cakes and the ice cream aren't what are satisfying you.
Right.
Like, you need to really work on what is true satisfaction for Katie.
Yeah. Well, and I think it comes back to you. We talked on the last call. You said that I had a fear of food, and that was such an aha for me because I do have a huge fear of food. So that's where, you know, I think doing all this data and having all these thought downloads, now I'm like, sometimes I find myself battling those ideas in my head.
Yeah. And like, here's what I want you to, if you have a fear of food, I want you to notice that you're creating drama around ice cream and 1, 2, 3 cakes when you could just be like, the ice cream is not what caused the 1.8. You know what caused the 1.8? The decision to keep ice cream because you think it's satisfying. Mm-hmm. Rather than deciding what's truly satisfying in life. Like, I would just do a thought download on, if food wasn't an option to satisfy me, what would be satisfying in my life? And is that going to be enough? Do I need to think about those things more often? Or am I finding I don't have a lot that's satisfying in life? It's time to go create that versus trying to figure out what kind of dessert am I going to have?
That's it. That's it right there.
Good. Your calls are always so good, by the way.
Just thank you. I'm kind of a data nerd.
Fire when I coach you.
Well, and I appreciate it because I don't do it often because I get so much out of everybody else's calls. I feel like, you know, I don't have to because I listen to theirs. But this one I was struggling with, and last weekend when you had open coaching just in the tribe, I was determined I was going to do this. And then when it came to it, I'm like, nope. I'm tapping out, not doing it. And then that just brought up all kinds of thoughts. I'm like, why aren't you?
I'm going to tell you, this was a good one for the Queen's Club. This is more like, I think, a good call for Queen's Club.
Good. Well, I appreciate you stuff. More than you know. It's been a life changer.
Well, thank you. Tell your husband hello from me.
I'll have him watch this and say, hey, the Queen said hello to you. He'll love it. He's been so good. He listens all the time. He comments from the peanut gallery and...
Awesome. Yeah. I love the supportive husbands. They're so good.
Thank you, Fran.
Right, lady, thank you. Bye. All right. Karen Music. I think we just coached recently, didn't we? I remember Karen Music. Hello.
Hello, we did coach recently.
I was going to say, like, I remember the name Karen Music. Yeah. What are we coaching on today?
Well,
we're old friends.
We coached on Labor Day. And yeah. What you gave me as homework was to write down my thoughts for a week. So I did. And I just thought I'd read them to you like rapid fire, and you can stop me when you're ready.
So this poison?
Yeah, well, that might be the first one. And this is me at school, and this is what runs through my head.
So let's just recap where we left off.
Yeah,
you're at school, and I coached you on because you're eating at 4 o'clock. Because
yeah,
it's something about you having a. You said something about like being stressed and emotionally spent or something at the end of the day.
Yes. So I was really interested in this idea you've talked about before of preserving mental bandwidth during the day.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to do because 4 p.m. and beyond is my overeat time.
Yeah. You've tapped out your emotional bandwidth. So it's like you're going to have urges where you're going to need emotional bandwidth.
Yeah. And I don't have any.
Spent it all day. It's just like, that's some bullshit. We'll start that tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That is it every day. By the way, thank you for the teacher podcast. That was really great. I've listened to it once and I've not deleted it because I'm going to listen to it again.
Well, and it actually re-releases next week. The wrong one went out, so we had to take it back.
Oh, okay.
Put a different one out. You might want to refresh it, and then you'll get it all again next Friday.
Okay, I will. I'll refresh it. Okay, sounds good. So Monday, and I'm just going to say he and she rather than my kids' names. He is a jerk. Kindergarten is not easy. She is a mess. The office doesn't communicate with me. My principal's a basket case. She is an idiot. I don't enjoy the people I eat lunch with. This class is terrible listeners. They can't feel the beat. They're so dumb. They're so stupid. Superintendent is a dork. Central office doesn't get it. He is slimy. She's an idiot.
Your problem is judgment.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You're a judgy bitch.
I know. Yeah. I am.
Could you imagine if you had to walk around with a thought bubble one day? You'd be tired.
I'd have to leave for the building.
Your house would be toilet papered and egg.
Yep. 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 Exactly.
Why are you so hard on everyone?
I don't know. I mean,
are you hard on yourself?
Yes.
That's probably why.
Of course I am.
It's so easier to judge other people so that you don't have to be left with learning how to stop judging yourself. A lot of people spend their mental bandwidth like throwing the shade everywhere else because if they at least imagine you had to fast on that. Like you had to think everybody was amazing no matter what they did. You'd be bored and then you'd have to think about yourself.
Okay. That's really interesting. When you said the two things pop into my head when you said that. One is if you ask my friends like who I am, they'd say nice. She's so nice. That's just me. I'm agreeable, you know. And then if you ask my mom growing up, she said, don't be so hard on yourself. You're so hard on yourself. Give yourself a break, honey. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of exactly what you just said.
Well, what's hilarious is the people who judge the most are usually the biggest liars in the world. Because you walk through all day long like, you know, I'm a people pleaser. I'm just going to like say blah, blah, blah. And then in my head, I'm like,
yes, that's how I am in my head. That's I curse like exhausted. You in my head.
That's why you're exhausted. Because you're trying to, like, here, this is the solution. Everything that you think from now on, you should just, if you're not willing to say it to their face, then you've got to check that thought and be like, what the fuck am I doing sitting here calling a kid names? What the fuck am I?
Right.
Superintendent is what? What'd you call him, an idiot?
Probably.
Why is he an idiot? Let's just pick him.
Why is he an idiot? He is ivory tower. He doesn't get the day-to-day of what we do, and he acts like he does.
Okay. Isn't that kind of his job to kind of
knows
what you guys do? What do you want him
I don't know.
Come in the room and say, like, guys, I have no clue.
No, I want him to say,
I'm just guessing at all of it.
I don't know.
You can be real honest. Would that help you? Would you feel much better if he just walked in and said, I really don't know what the fuck goes on around here. I thank God I'm getting paid.
No, I probably wouldn't feel better.
No.
You'd be like, you're in the ship.
What, how's he going to feel better then?
I don't know. How am I going to feel better? Stop thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for you, the first thing you have to do is real, like, I'm glad you're thinking about what you're thinking about. I think the first step is what you've just done, literally. You have to know what's going on in your head. And I want you to, like, bypass step two, which is what we normally have to do, which is release judgment that we think all these things.
Yeah.
It's just shit you're thinking. Like, seriously?
Yeah, I know.
I think daggers all the time, too.
Okay.
But this is
I know what it is.
I don't get emotionally spent at the end of the day because of it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not thinking that what I think is true. Whereas you think he's in an ivory tower and who's steering the ship and this is wrong. You're allowing your judgment to be the truth of your life. And you're not stepping back one step thinking, these are the things I think. They're not true.
Okay.
This is my interpretation. If you want that to be your interpretation, then you have to agree with yourself. Like, when I think these things about the superintendent, I know it's at the expense of me going home and probably wanting to eat. Like, that's the price I'm willing to pay to hang on to this judgment.
Okay.
Or you could start digging into, like, doing some models around why you think this and what you could be thinking. Like, let's just pretend for a second. We're going to think something different about the superintendent. We're going to level out. What did you call him? An idiot?
I don't know. Let me look. He is.
Of that whole list, what do you think is the one thought, like, man, if I could quit thinking this right here, this is the one that nags me most of the time during the day. My most popular judgy thought.
Yeah. My most popular judgy thought is fill in the blank is an idiot. Kids, mostly boys, sometimes girls.
Fill in the blank is an idiot. So you're talking about just the kids, right?
Most often, because the superintendent's hardly ever with us.
Okay. When he comes in, we're just like, of course he's an idiot. That's okay. We're still all getting paid. The ship's not sinking.
He's still signing the checks.
My bank account got money. So we're doing okay here.
Right. Yeah. But it's the kids. So I'll say do this and they do that and I think that kid's an idiot.
And how old are these children?
They are 6 through 10.
Oh, so they're like supposed to be at the same emotional skill as you, which you've already identified doesn't have much.
Right. Right. That's why I'm here with you.
Hey.
Yes. I'm working on it. Yes.
Well, here's one positive thought you could have when you want to think they're an idiot and say, like, and sometimes I'm an idiot too. It's what I'm working on.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we're in agreement that sometimes we're all acting
yeah,
like.
Yeah. I've been marked.
I mean, I'm not even joking in those moments. Sometimes when it comes to situations like that, it's easier to laugh it off a little bit mm-hmm. and be like, and yeah, like when I want to think they're an idiot, there's so many times I think I'm an idiot and that's just the way it works. And
yeah.
on that kind of thing. But I want you to think about this. What are your expectations of these kids?
Well, I expect them to follow directions. So if I say sit here, I want them to sit there.
Yeah.
But
So your expectation is that they're coming into your room already knowing how to do this, or do you think you might want to shift your expectation that as a teacher, my job is yeah. they get to be grown ass adults and they're told where to sit or whatever, that they actually can do it. That this is the years where it's a crapshoot. They're 6 through 10.
Yes. And I think too, right. I think part of it is coming to realize that I have to teach them where to sit. You know, where 20 years ago, they knew. It's very different. So I've been teaching for 22 years, and I think I sort of long for the days when they learned some of this stuff at home, and now they don't. So they don't know how to be a student or how to function in a school. And so my job is to teach them that. So when I want them to sit there, I need to model what that means for them.
Do you know what I think?
Tell me, please.
I think 22 years ago, they probably weren't sitting where they were supposed to, and you had patience.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that that's a better thought for you.
Okay.
I think thinking it used to be so much better, and now I just need to think about the seat, like these kids not sitting where they're supposed to. I think you're trying mm-hmm. to feel good about something you don't like. And that's where yeah. love always comes in. So I think you redefining, like, you know what? 22 years ago, I was young, so excited to be teaching and all these stuff. Like, you probably were so amazed at being a teacher that you probably had more patience with them.
For sure.
Didn't realize that you probably have the same amount of bullshit today. You just have less patience today.
Yes. And I've been talking to my closest colleague about how I'm what needs to change, right?
Yeah.
I am the changeable factor. So my mindset is what has to adjust to this situation, whether it's different than 20 years ago or not. You know, I probably will never know, but my perspective and my mindset is the part that I can control. I can't control what skills they come in with. So,
well, and they're probably, you know, I want to just give you some a little like perspective for these kids. They're probably coming into your class not wanting to do what you say. Like, you're going home and not wanting to do what you said you would do at 8 a.m.
Right.
And then you're turning into the 6-year-old who's like, I don't want to sit in the chair and be right. uncomfortable and right. do my work. You know what I want to do? I want to eat. That's what I right. want to do. So when they have a case of the wiggles or whatever they're doing, it's kind of, you're doing the same thing at night. I think you need to like see where, you know, how old are you?
44.
Yeah, you're my age. Like, even at 44 and 45, and we're learning all this, we have a hard time doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
6 to 10, like, if you start making those connections of, like, where y'all have something more in common, you don't jump to the conclusion that the kids are idiots.
Okay.
Jump to the conclusion of, I understand why it's hard. I don't want to even eat on plan at night. They don't have, like they're not sitting down each morning and cleaning out their brain, trying to figure out how to have a great day and like show up in music class like a boss and all this other stuff.
Right. 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 So your suggestion is, when I'm in the middle of it and I have that thought, that I turn it to how I am the same, like make a connection between my tendencies and yeah. what I'm seeing in them. Okay.
When people are judging, whenever we're judging things, you need to look for, how the hell am I doing the same thing in my life?
Okay.
So, like, I'll give you an example with the superintendent in the ivory tower.
Right.
sit in your ivory tower as if it was so much better back in the day.
Right.
It's the parents' fault. They're not sending the kids here with any kind of whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure the superintendent sits around thinking a lot. He's probably sitting there going, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know why the teachers are complaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. They're in their ivory tower thinking it's hard teaching the kids. They should have to be the administrator.
Right.
Everybody has an ivory tower. I mean, when you start noticing your judgment, one of the quickest ways to get at least to start seeing, fuck me, this is like perception. This is not true. Right. Is to start thinking like, all right, if it's bothering me, it's because I'm doing it somewhere in my life. What was one of your other ones? So you had the superintendent, you had the kids. There was like there was a bunch.
I didn't even finish my list, Corinne. Central office doesn't get it. He is slimy. She's an idiot. I just don't care. I want a soda. This department's ineffective. Kids don't have the support they need.
Is a good one. People not supporting me. I want you to just look through your life where you think things about yourself or you are blaming, this is ineffective. Like, you know, I know a lot of you will say like, there's just no way the realistic plan is going to work. It's just not working. This is ineffective. Like, watching for all of that will help you there. But I just think really for you, it's like now just identifying all of this and being like, shit, no wonder I'm so spent in the afternoon. I need to start figuring out how to go to work and like think about the things that I'm thinking about and decide, do I want to keep this thought in this moment? Is this worth, I would just ask myself, is this worth having no energy left at the end of the day to go after my goals? Is thinking about the superintendent and what he might be thinking about all the other things, is it going to be worth at the end of the day having nothing left for my goals? If it's not, then just be like, what else are we going to think about right now?
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on is always a good one. They're kids. My expectations of kids might be out of check right now, just like my expectations of me to follow a perfect diet sometimes. You know, just things like that, noticing that comes in.
Last week, I would jot these down in the moment all throughout the day while they were happening. Would you say to do that again as briefly as possible and then maybe TDL later when I have time to think about how, like holding the mirror to myself, like how that thought is really in me, reflected in me? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I would definitely do that. You could just take a few of them. You don't have to do all of them. You can just notice the ones that are on repeat the most.
Yeah.
Start with those.
Okay.
Just, like, where is this in me so that you can have compassion for the person you're judging?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the next thing is just really having like that overarching theme of like, I want you to take like all the thoughts that you have that aren't working and they just be a collective of your thoughts. And then I'm going to ask yourself, what am I making this mean? And make sure that you work from where most people start. This is where we're modeling on we're thinking about our thoughts now. So we're moving all of our thoughts up to the C line for a moment. And then like, what am I making those mean? Am I making it mean I'm broken? This shit's got to get fixed. Like, do a model on your thoughts about that, because what you want to move to is a model where it's like all your thoughts are up here and the thought can be like, and any of them can change when I'm ready. Or it's, you know, I'm going to look at all of them with curiosity, not judgment. You can like do some stuff like that on them.
Okay. So I've been Marco Poloing with Amber Young, who's the other music teacher that was suggested to me last time. And she had a couple, that same thing is, what are you making that mean about you? And I thought, like my first thing was, well, I'm a bad teacher for not helping them to be better first before I had that knee jerk reaction of judging them. Then I thought, I'm making it mean that I, she said like, well, what do you feel when you think that? And eventually I got to compassion for some of the students that maybe are not super intelligent, and I felt sad that they were going to have this life where they had a struggle, you know, for maybe things that would come easy to other people wouldn't come easy to them. So I had this
where you just tell yourself, you don't know what their future is.
Yeah.
You don't.
So stay out of that.
Yeah, stay out of those kids. Like, stay in the presence. Stay in the mindset of what you're doing for them.
Okay.
Because if you stay in the mindset of they're idiots and judging them and frustration and sadness, you're never going to give them maybe the one thing that they need that could make all the difference in the world. There are plenty of people in this world who are not super smart, who don't make good grades, who can't sit still when they're 6 years old or 10 years old.
Right.
Seem like slower learners and stuff, who go on to do amazing things.
Right. My of course there are.
My brother is like the head of IT security for a major healthcare firm in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in the sixth grade, he was stealing wallets, smoking, ADHD, and failing.
Okay.
And I'm sure every teacher thought he was a bumfuck idiot. Right. Hell, I did. He called me fatty. I called him Dumbo.
Right.
That's what we did all our lives. You can't, you cannot, like, again, do, like, that's just judgment in a different way. It's just not harsh judgment. It's,
oh,
now I'm going to judge you this way.
It's like pitying judgment, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what they don't need? They don't need pity. They need the best teacher.
They need the best teacher I can be for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're being the best for you, you'll be the best for them. So that's going to be like, you know, that's why I asked you about what are you making it mean. It was such a good question Amber asked you. Because you were making it mean, well, all these thoughts, well, I'm a bad teacher.
Yeah.
You need to model that because then you want to have a model. It's like, no, these thoughts don't make me a bad teacher. These thoughts mean I'm learning how to love us all through the process.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And really quick, one other thought that Amber had was about her sixth grader. Was these kids have different idea of fun. Like my idea of fun and their idea of fun is a different thing. And I thought, well, for me, that would be like, my students and I have different idea of what school behavior looks like. Is that neutral enough thought, you know, would that work for me to be not judgy and just say we have difference
yes,
there?
They have different idea of what fun is. What do you teach, music?
Yeah. K through five.
Yeah. You know, getting, what do you play the recorder at some point?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, Karen, do music teachers think that's amazing? I still remember the trauma I had to go through to play the fucking recorder. And my mother wishes y'all would never have done it either.
I know. It is not amazing every day. It is not amazing. It is not amazing.
No, it's terrible. It sounds like shit when a bunch of kids are playing.
And I know.
You guys.
I know.
You guys want all of us to love it. And I'd go home like, I got to practice my recorder. My mother was like, I just worked two jobs. The last thing I want to do is boot on a recorder.
Right, right. You were trying her bandwidth at that moment right there.
Oh, yeah. Her emotional bandwidth was like, let's order pizza.
Yeah.
I cannot listen to the recorder.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
But anyway, I'm sure that it's glorious, but, and there's good reasons to learn it, but it gives you a perspective of like, oh, like, I thought we were going to be teaching music and we would all just be enlightened and sit around kumbaya and this is the best class ever. And it's like, no.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Kids are not supposed to love school.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Y'all, I swear to God, I won't even forget when Logan come home with a recorder. Poor little thing. He ain't got any rhythm. And he just, you know, oh, God, when he took like 3 months of saxophone lessons, it was like we were wounding ducks in the dining room. All right, MJ, you're up. Hello.
Hello.
What are we coaching on?
Oh, gosh. Yesterday, I ate like it was my job. I did. Like somebody was paying me to eat for them. So this morning, I got up and I did my ultimate recovery worksheet.
All right. You did the big one.
I did the, well, it was a big overeat. I did the big work.
What'd you eat? What the fuck did you eat yesterday? It's so big.
Catfish nuggets, M&Ms, chips and French onion dip and croissant with, you know, chicken salad on it, hot dog and
drink. Well, at least you did it right.
And a couple times I thought, I'm at my two. I'm like, yes, I am. Pass the chips.
So why were you, what was going on yesterday that it was just like, let's do it?
So I had already done my, like, time blocked my day. I had done everything. I was going to get all the stuff done. And my girlfriend called and she was like, let's just ride down to the USC game. I'm like, shoot, yeah, that's what we'll do. So the thoughts, what I wrote was, I had some things I wanted to finish at home and chose to go to the game instead. I felt guilty for leaving my husband because it was his day off and he never gets those. And I wrote, I just wanted a break from life, from PMP, from responsibility, from my diet, from being a mentor, from being a student. Okay. I just wanted to like screw it all. Like I want a break from everything.
So what do you think is the problem then?
Well, so there, you know, I just started the life coach school a couple weeks ago. So I have been TDLing and doing all this stuff. I've been doing little quits on my diet. I'm up 6 pounds. And I have identified the feeling of inadequate. So I have been modeling around the feeling of inadequate. I have been journaling around that feeling. I have done intentional models around
it. Why are you inadequate?
I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like it's just, I mean, I don't want to say overwhelming, like, cause I don't like that word. So because I'm taking action.
But you don't need to avoid the word either. If that's the feeling you have, you need to admit that. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're resisting overwhelm. Like, well, I don't like that word. Why? It's just a word.
I know, but I feel like I'm taking action. So I always say that, like, you know, if you're overwhelmed, can't live with action. So I am writing my plans. I'm doing, you know,
you're not taking action if you're eating off the plan. You're making a plan, but that's not action. That's passive action.
Okay.
Eating and not and eating the plan when you really don't want to eat the plan, that's when you're taking action.
Okay. Yeah. I just feel like
you have to get to the upper level stuff.
Right.
You have to really start it. Like when you're a PMP baby making a plan, that's huge action for people. Not for you. You don't lose too much weight. You don't get to use that as action anymore. That's just like whatever. Massive action for you is going to be like discomfort. You know what I think is happening?
What?
You're in the face of the new person and you're going to have to decide, do you want to be here or do you want to keep comfortable?
Oh yeah. I think that that has kind of come up a little bit in my journaling. Cause I was good. Like I was in my spot, like, you know, I'm at my goal weight, I'm doing the things, I'm feeling really good, I'm helping my kids, I'm helping, like, doing all this stuff, and then now I'm leveling up, and it is scary.
Why is it scary?
Just what, you know, what am I going to do with it? Where is it going to lead? Like, what, you know, because, well, at the end of my weight loss, I knew that there was a number at the end. Like, there was a number that I was going for. At the end of life coach school, I get a piece of paper.
If you're lucky, Brooke doesn't send that stuff out. I'm gonna ruin it for you.
No, right?
I didn't even know until a year after I'd been certified as a master coach that I was actually a master coach. She forgot to tell us. Oh. So she likes to just keep us all figuring our own shit out around success.
Right. Right.
But I want you to hear what I just said. You're still looking like you're saying, well, I knew what success would look like because there was a number here. That's not what success looks like. Do you know how you know when you're a success?
When you feel accomplished, I guess, or feel
when
like
you decide you are one.
Yeah.
You haven't decided yet that you are. If you've decided you're a success, then you don't let an overeat throw you off. It's just part of it. It's just like, yeah, of course. Moving on. Next thing. Why are we eating? Let's just figure it out. Like, you're just not shaken.
And I have done that in the past. I mean, I've always just you know, learned from my overeats and moved on, and all of the stuff was good. But
what's the difference today then?
I think I'm just questioning other things too. Like it's,
This is why I think you're having an identity issue. You've used your goal number. You're waiting for a piece of paper and things like that to define MJ as a success. You're trying to find your sign, it's going to make you a success. Rather than like really working on your thoughts around you being successful.
Okay.
Are you in alignment with that yet? I don't think you are.
Yeah, no.
Because you're needing a, like, I think what you're trying to do is pressure yourself into everything. Because when you tell me I need a break from all of it, we only need a break from things that we think our thoughts are messy around.
Right.
What would it, this is what I want you to work on. I want you to do some work on what would it look like to lose the 6 pounds again,
yeah,
to be a mentor, to be going to the life coach school, and it feel exciting. And it feel good.
Right.
Those are the thoughts we need to, we got to find these right now. You don't have them. I think what you're doing is you're doing these things hoping they'll make you feel successful.
Yeah.
Or not even successful, whatever the opposite of enough.
Right.
Because if you're suffering from inadequacy, it means you're not relishing in being enough.
Yes. Very true. That's a lot of work. I'm ready for it though. I'm ready.
It's not, watch how you're talking. Is someone who like is going to do this with excitement and stuff and like, it's a lot of work, or somebody like, I'm ready to get in, this will be good. I'm going to find out so much about me.
Right.
I get the opportunity to start figuring out the next version of me. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what I'll do with this afterward. I don't need to know. I'll figure that out when I'm done. Then I get to decide what I'm going to do with all of it. And that'll be fun too. Right now, I'm going to enjoy the process of learning it.
Right.
I guarantee you that that's where the, like, if you want to reconcile some stuff to relieve a little pressure, is letting go of the pressure that once I finish life high school, I have to do something with it. No, you don't. You get to create whatever you want afterward. I would just enjoy the learning part first. That's how I did it. It's all about that process, MJ. Just like I teach you guys with weight loss. You said it yourself. You were excited. You loved the whole thing. You believed in yourself. Let's go through life coach school the same way, and let's lose the last 6 pounds. The 6 pounds, I promise you, are going to come off when you reconcile this, all this pressure you're putting on yourself. If you can't have fun doing it, stop doing some of the stuff. Seriously. Even if it, like, I don't even, like, and I know you guys don't want to hear PMP business. If you're not having fun being a mentor, you'll be a mentor. I'm not going to, like, cry.
I do love it, though. I do love it.
But here's the thing. I want you to actually love it. I don't want you to love parts of it and the rest of it feel like pressure. But you'll know because of the things you're thinking. Like if you're thinking you have to weigh a certain amount and behave a certain way, this is what all the mentors go through. This is for teachers, for all of you. I have to be a certain way in order to be enough. No. In order to feel like you're enough, you have to think you are enough. And you go out and you find evidence as to why you already are. And then you can get excited about being more than enough. But you never sit around being like, well, this is the working definition of perfection. This is the working definition of what enough is. No. It's whatever you want to make it be.
Okay.
But I don't care what you ate yesterday. That's so irrelevant.
Right. I mean, it wasn't about the food anyway. I mean, it's just not about the food ever.
No, it's about needing a break. And I want you to tell yourself, Like, I want you to notice that you listed all the circumstances of what you needed a break from, which you didn't have, is a list of the thoughts you need a break from that you're attributing to those circumstances. That's where the break comes in.
Yeah. Okay. I will begin writing. I have my next, I'm ready to level up. I mean, that's why I'm doing this whole thing in the first place, you know? I mean, that's why I've been on this path.
Yeah.
And I have enjoyed it so far. I have enjoyed the whole thing.
I like to always tell myself too, when I'm thinking about that stuff, is it's a privilege to be able to dream big for other people. That's essentially what you're doing. When you're mentoring in PNP, and when you are going to the life coach school and probably thinking about maybe using this for yourself later and all that kind of, like, to, you know, maybe coach or whatever, I want you to think about, like, it is the privilege of a lifetime to even be able to dream bigger than other people are willing to dream. And to go through the pain of what it takes to dream big. This is what I tell myself all the time about PNP, because there's a lot of pain involved. Y'all are like having a baby 3 times a week. Just saying. But it's like, I find personal enoughness in the idea that I'm willing to dream for all the women who aren't right now and go through it.
Right.
So it makes that process worth it. On the days when I'm crying, or the days when it's not easy, the days when I overeat or drink, I remind myself, like, this, hun, whenever you're doing shit like that, it's just a signal to look at what's going on. That's all it really means.
Right. I'm willing.
Good. I know you are.
I am. And I'm excited. I am excited. I think I just, you know, I need to just do more work. I think I've just been like, I have gotten very comfortable. I'm like writing my plans, and I have my little way that I do things. And now with all of this new stuff going on, I have to level it up.
It's not even leveling up. I want you to think about, it's all this new stuff. It's going to just require me to think in a new way. I can't think like the old MJ anymore. The old MJ was very comfortable with, like, the thoughts that you are using as the old MJ are the thoughts that keep you at the old MJ.
Yeah.
So if you want to have like a new version of you that's like, you know, as a coach, as a mentor and all this other stuff, it's like, you know what that does? That requires a whole new level of thinking for me. I need to identify that new thinking that I'm going to use.
Okay.
It kind of goes back to what I was talking about with the first one. This has been a lot of you guys like getting to a certain level of success and being like really confident where you're at. Let me just say, this is what I practice on the religion, and it's only for the strong of gut. Because you'll shit your pants otherwise. But it's about every time you get comfortable, you have to figure out how to blow it all up and go back to like, oh, this is the part where we're going to sit around and we're going to be worried about if it's going to work again. And this is the part we have to rewrite our brain all the time that, oh yeah, I forgot. I'm really good at making things happen and figuring things out. And uncertainty is fun.
Right. Yeah.
Like, woo.
That's exactly right. Well, thank you.
Are you coming to October camp?
I am.
You're one of the girls. Okay, good. It's going to be really good.
I'm very excited about it. Very excited.
I think it'll be a good reboot for you. Like, just to, like, be in.
And I am so excited for No BS, because I haven't done it in a little bit. And I've done it several times, but, like, now I have my little mentee group I'm going through it with. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to dig in.
All of us. It's almost to dust it off and just see where we've come from, too. And see where we let some of it go.
Yeah. And then when you've done certain things, you hear it differently. You hear other things the next time you go through it. I'm like, the second time I went through it, I was like, did she say that the last time? Yes, she did. Yeah. That changed. Yeah.
Well, it's just you weren't ready for that level yet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I am super excited about it.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'll see you soon then, Missy.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, guys, that's all I can get through today. We're already over an hour. Y'all have a good one. I will be back tomorrow. So just for the Queen's Club, so you guys know, We're doing that no BS again. Please, I know that you guys are in the Queen's Club and a lot of you have done a lot of this stuff and probably don't think you need it. The calls today are a really good reason why we do need it. I want you to listen to all these people who have had a lot of success and stuff. Doing, even myself, doing no BS again allows you to go back to beginner's mindset and make sure your foundation is on lock. It allows you to pick up the little things that you may be just not even noticing that you're not doing anymore. And one of the reasons why I like to redo it, and I'm doing it with everybody, the full workbook. One of the reasons is, well, one, I'm going to update it for 2020, just as a sneak peek. But one of the other main reasons, I think, is you guys listen to me a lot. Your mindset grows. And so when you hear it again, you'll hear it with tools you have now that will make certain concepts make even more sense. So like I have been recently going back through all of Brooke's early trainings to listen to, I mean, it's the OG, like episode 4, How to Fail. I listened to it while we were open. I listened to it 3 times. I've heard this one several times. And I heard it different each time with my new circumstances and my new way of thinking. It was amazing. So I know that all of you will get that same benefit doing that work. Okay, guys. Y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.